This is The Rich Eisen Show.
I got all the love in the world.
Cameras will be trained all over the stadium just to see, is Taylor Swift going to be in Arrowhead?
From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Touchdown! Finds Travis Kelce.
I think he wanted to get in the end zone just as much as all the Swifties wanted him to.
Today's guests, two-time Super Bowl champion and Greenlight podcast host, Chris Long. Rams head coach Sean McVay, plus your phone calls, Overreaction Monday, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of our program on the air. Already hit on the Dolphins' remarkable win. Where do the Broncos go from here? The Cowboys, what happened yesterday? And where do the Jets go from here? Full conversations to come with Sean McVay of the Rams before taking on the Bengals tonight. He's in hour number three of this show. You, throughout, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We've got Overreaction Monday, the segment, coming up in the middle of this hour. Overreaction Monday, the podcast on the Rich Eisen Podcast Network. Coming up as soon as we're done, Chris Brockman and I are going to have it that. Then Susie Schuster and Amy Trask have What the Football on Tuesday. And then we appreciate everybody who listens to our podcast version of the show all 3 hours every day where you can acquire a podcast. Same thing with our friend Chris Long back here from Greenlight Podcast, as well as Inside the NFL on the CW back here on the show. How you doing there, Christopher?
Rich, what's up, man? I would ask you, but I know.
I don't know what to say because you can't sit here and say the Jets didn't plan for to make sure that Zach Wilson was done playing meaningful football for them. And I don't blame Robert Saleh for saying he gives us the best chance to win. Were you going to turn to Tim Boyle on Sunday night against Mahomes, Kelce, and Taylor Swift? Like, she's not going to be there in New York? Seriously, like, so, yeah. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. for sure here, that I just don't know how you keep things together in the locker room, because how do all eyes kind of not turn to him, even though there are other fingerprints on the reason why they lost, Chris? What's going on in that locker room, do you think, here?
That's the hard thing, man. It really is. And, like, yeah, your point about Saleh is well taken. I mean, what else is he going to say? I might say, hey, we're evaluating this thing every week, because the elephant in the room is pretty obvious. Is like, the guy is probably one of the biggest problems with the team, if not the biggest problem. And I have noticed that there are still some, like, Zach Wilson hanger-ons. Like, people are still like, hey, it's not his fault, that sort of thing. I would say, at times, they didn't get a lot of separation yesterday, but the issue is everybody in the locker room is suffering because of poor quarterback play. It's not like when you draft a guy at linebacker, he's going to affect maybe the defenders in front of him, some of the reads in the passing game. You know, the quarterback, Garrett Wilson, not getting the ball. You know, he's rotting there. He's an elite wide receiver. His career could change because they can't get him a guy to throw the ball to. The offensive lines are getting skewered. You know, you read the pressure numbers. They're gaudy. How many of them are on the Jets' offensive line? How many of them are on Wilson patting the ball too long? So those guys are in a bad mood. And the defense, you said last week Bill was going to make the Dolphins' offense work, keep it in front of them, you know, keep them out on the field. And then this week you knew he'd come in and work that Jets front and make sure they're on the field a lot. And for them, no leads. They're exhausted. Time possessions out of whack and you know, no sacks. So the entire organization feels it when the quarterback can't get on, you know, get going. And I feel for those guys. I feel for Zach Wilson, because just when he thinks, hey, a lifeboat, Aaron Rodgers, maybe I can quietly wait in the wings for a few years, get my second chance somewhere else. I don't know how you come back from this, whatever the next chapter is for him.
Chris Long here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about the top of the division here. Because what a game between the Dolphins and Bills coming up this Ooh. Weekend, and what it means. What are you seeing from the scheme of the Dolphins? Because, again, I want to – clearly it's difficult to adjust on defense if you don't know the speed until you see it, right? Because yeah. they're fast. But what is McDaniel doing with the speed that might be different from what other coaches are doing with similar or close to that amount of speed that they have, Chris?
Well, I don't think anybody's got quite as much speed as they have. And then they go get the running back from Texas A&M, A-Chain, who goes off yesterday for over 200 yards. And I think the most interesting thing about them is you look at, like, the offseason through the lens of additions, subtractions, the draft, free agency. But I think McDaniel got in his bag and and figured out ways to A, keep Tua clean, because when he's clean, he's great. I mean, he's played great this year and they've kept him clean, having to cycle backup tackles and that sort of thing to get Armstead back this week. But they figured out a way to do that. And then they figured out a way to make that run game lethal. I mean, that is unfair to be able to 5 rushing touchdowns, 8.5 a pop, 350. Norm Van Brocklin's name's coming up, 1951. It's never good. They're so good in the run game because they get sideways so fast. So you get out and you're like, it's like standing in a freeway and watching cars go by. Whether it's, you know, the motion, the same side motion, the layering of looks, I think is the biggest thing. Like as a defender, especially a second level defender, it's layering different things you have to think about pre-snap and then post-snap. You know, it's motion one way, it's pullers, and then, oh, it's pass. And then, you know, they got us sideways the entire game. We're going to knife the ball downhill. We're mixing in gap scheme. We're going to get guys on the second level. I think the run game is a real weapon that they've started to showcase. And I think smart by him, we haven't gotten this rookie a bunch of touches. The Broncos are so bad defensively, it's not a secret. Let's get guys going this week. Really embarrassing for the Broncos. I don't know that I've ever seen a game like that. And I've been a part of some bad ones. Like Sean Payton said, I've been a part of some bad ones. He's been on the other side of it. Never seen one like that. And Vance Joseph, like last week, the Commanders put up 30-something points on you and they get shut out this week. So not that you're looking at that score, but you're like, damn, we have a long way to go. That Dolphins offense is special.
Before I move on with the Dolphins a little bit more, let's linger on the Broncos. Did they quit? Did they quit? Did you see guys quit on the field? I know that's very infused. I understand that you can't accuse an NFL player of anything worse other than maybe, you know, throwing a game purposefully.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think, Chris?
I don't think, you know, I don't want to throw the Q word around, but I do think there was a point in the game where it became apparent that they had no shot. And the scariest thing about this thing is, like, if I were to tell you, you're the Broncos, you're down 21-10, things have not gone well in the first half, but they give the ball to Ingold being aggressive on fourth down, and you get the ball with 5 minutes to go, chance to make this a one-score game. This shows you how good the Dolphins are and how bad the Broncos are defensively. They go to the half down 35-13.
Mm-hmm.
It's 21-10 with 5 to go in the first half. And most teams are thinking about, hey, one possession here. Can we eat up 3 minutes, give it back to them, play 2-minute defense? But because of the way they played at the end of that half, they were totally out of it. And then the second half, you could see mentally guys are out of it. You know, I don't know about quitting, but there's a hopelessness that comes with playing on a defense like that where you're like, there's nothing we can do. The space, it's stacked against us. We can't tackle. You got Chosen Anderson or
Robbie Chosen. Robbie Chosen.
Because at first he did Chosen Anderson, and yes, Anderson was on the nameplate, and he'd go back to the DMV and be like, hey, I'm here again. It's like, I think it's where you get your passports, actually. But
yeah.
You know, like, you got him beating Pat Surtain for a touchdown. You got Mike White in there at the end of the game. I don't know if they quit, but that's as close as you get. I mean, the Bears are a dumpster fire. I don't know where it's more miserable, in that defensive room this week in Denver or in Chicago.
And, you know, Garrett Bowles, I'm sure you saw his comment saying, you know, for 7 years I've gotten my brains beaten in. I'm sick of losing. Obviously, you know, you know that feeling as well. What would
I
you
felt like Garrett Bowles for 30 seconds. It brought me back. And, you know, like, he was a high pick, had trouble, you know, out the gate for a year and a half, and he kind of came on. And, you know, that's a guy that I felt happy for, as he's starting to play well individually. But, like, if you're a Bronco, you just, like, where's the end of the tunnel? Sean Payton's supposed to be a lifeboat. He's talking about the coaching job the last team did, the last staff. You've got, I mean, I joked yesterday, you've traded for Sean Payton at times. Like, go trade for Bill Belichick and get the defense right. because honestly, it's like they fixed the offense. People are talking about, hey, Russ isn't playing well. He's actually, the offense looks better. But who would have thought the defense would be the problem?
I've got Chris Long here on the Rich Eisen Show. And before we move on to the NFC, who can beat the Dolphins or handle them best? And the reason why I'm bringing that up is not just because of what we've just seen, and it could be Buffalo coming up this very weekend, but you look at their schedule, and Miami plays Kansas City in Frankfurt, Germany, which I'm calling on NFL Network. I cannot wait for that game. In case you're wondering, the average temperature in Germany in November is below 50. It's about 48 degrees. Who knows? And you look at the back end of their schedule. They have that game after Thanksgiving at the Jets. Who knows who's going to be the quarterback then? And then just at Washington, at Baltimore, the rest of them are at home. So it's not going to be like they're going to, the track meet will be, tested not just by defense, but by Mother Nature as well. Who do you think is best equipped? And you could even include teams that they might see in the Super Bowl to beat the Dolphins and defend them, Chris.
Here's the thing. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the road to the Super Bowl went through Miami. I think they've kind of quietly, because of some of the past outcomes or injuries last year, or like the fact that they started this exact way last year, kind of came down to earth in some spots. I think people are overlooking the fact that they might be the best team in the league right now. When you look at their defense, when you look at, you know, the additions that I talked about and the schematic adjustments they've made, I think the big test is this weekend. The Bills sacked Sam Howell 9 times. Mm. He went Oprah with the interceptions. Everybody got one. And if you look at, like, the Bills, how do you beat Tua? How do you beat, you know, the Dolphins? Well, you can't beat Tua if you don't hit him. And that's a cliche, but you know, he hasn't been touched this year. And so somebody's going to come along and not let the tackles off the hook. But it's easier said than done because of the timing of that offense. You know, you look around the league, there's a bunch of young quarterbacks right now who seem to have all the talent, and the processing is slow. You know, it's like a Pat Long, you know, that sort of thing. You're just back there a quarter second late. You know, thinking about where you're going with the ball. Tua doesn't do that. The ball's gone. And so I think you got to have rushers that can win. I think you got to be able to take away the middle of the field. So like when they played San Francisco last year, you know, having a Fred Warner that can patrol the middle of the field, run with the seam, the whole thing, there aren't many teams that have that. So I think when you look at the Chiefs, obviously the Bills, the Eagles with that front and some of the weapons that they have, the Niners. I think the Cowboys would be a really interesting matchup, you know, yesterday notwithstanding. So they're in that elite group of teams, and I think you have to have a very specific formula to beat them. But the scary thing is, the way they're playing right now, I haven't seen anybody do it.
Chris Long, the Green Light podcast host right here on the Rich Eisen Show. What is your takeaway from the Dallas loss in Arizona, Chris?
Okay, so red zone. Like offense, red zone, they ran almost as many plays, I think, as Kansas City in there. They come away with the points they came away with, and Kansas City comes away with like 35 points. So, you know, when you got three guys down on your offensive line, that's a bad deal to start the day. I think Diggs being out hurt them. They got more man than they wanted to be in, I think, probably from a standpoint of just communication. Like, hey, we got a bunch of guys playing that haven't played together. Let's try to man up. But the run game is something I worry about with them. You know, the interior of the line, I think everybody took a turn. And I have to give a lot of credit to Jonathan Gannon and the run game and the head coach getting that team ready to not be afraid of the Cowboys. You know, like these Cowboys are coming in, all their fans are coming in. We're going to have to go on silent count sometimes. We're going to throw the ball 20 times and we're going to pound it. And we're not going to let Micah Parsons get comfortable. You know, Micah Parsons saw a million different looks. And as a rusher, by the time it's time to pin your ears back, you start second guessing. And, you know, throwing multiple tight ends over there in the run game, giving him 3-4-man surfaces, reducing him down to a 5, and then making the second level guys tackle. Everybody took a turn. And there was a play with Rondell Moore. He went for a touchdown, I think, on this play. But I don't think Micah saw a true two-man surface for like 5 minutes. And by that, I mean no tight ends, no junk, nothing. And he just flies up the field because he's trying to get one. And, you know, the gap's huge. The three technique inexplicably takes the inside move. So everybody took a turn in the run game. I think they'll be better. The run game does worry me a little bit. The O-lineman will be back. But they were running the ball for 5-5 a pop. Like, just stick with that. And before they knew it, they were down.
Did you see, speaking of different fronts, did you see two tight ends travel wherever Myles Garrett traveled? The Titans, and it caused the Titans to have a delay of game penalty because Garrett, I guess, either noticed that and kept moving around and two tight ends traveled? I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
That's the Calvin Johnson of, you know, when they had all those dudes out there on Calvin Johnson. Like, right. I've never seen that with Calvin, never seen that with Miles. And I think, you know, it's funny, people had, they were all pissed off because last week Pro Football Focus had Myles Garrett, the top rated rusher, out of the game. Highsmith played a great game.
Yeah.
Watt showed up. But Miles is, if he's not around the quarterback, it's because they got four guys over there. They're running away or they do something with quick game. If he played in Dallas.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of hearing, oh, and don't forget about Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett is the guy. You know, last year, Nick Bosa had the best year. He's DPOY. Mike is like the second coming of LT.
Right.
In a lot of ways, but Myles Garrett is Julius Peppers. I mean, he's like a more compact Pep. I've never seen a guy that big run on the side of his cleat as often as he does top of the rush. And he plays on grass. Okay. When I play with Robert Quinn, you know, he had 18 and a half 1 year. He'd run sideways, you know, but he was 260 and we got the turf. Myles Garrett's 285. He's digging those spikes in. And he is, at the top of the rush, as good as anybody. Yesterday, the first pass rush he got on Dillard, he almost killed Tannehill with Dillard.
That's right.
You know, and the problem with that defense is Jim can just, like, Jim's got the group he had with us. Mm-hmm. We didn't have Myles Garrett, but we had Fletcher Cox. The depth we had in that 2017 D-line room. But he's got the guys on the back end. You know, War, Delpit, all those guys, they can man up, they can compete, and you can't get anything going against them. This defense is a lot of fun to watch. And with Derrick Henry, they just stack the box. Say, hey, we're not going to let Derrick Henry get going on I-71 here. Mm-hmm. I can hear Jim Schwartz saying it. Cut him down before he can get going and make Tannehill beat us.
Chris Long, couple minutes left with the Green Light podcast host after so much to talk about in week three. I'll give you the floor on the Bears, and I mean, it's tough to imagine a worse start from the defensive coordinator going poof, yeah. And Justin Fields saying what he said last week after you and I spoke about being robotic, and then clearly going to Kansas City with the Chiefs having lost to the Lions in their home opener and everything going on there. But you know, it's as bad as I could see it. And a team just had 70 put on them and lost by 50, Chris, you know,
with Taylor Swift in the house.
Exactly right. I know.
I mean, that's a young team. They are all probably Swifties. That's hard.
look what they made them do. You know what I mean? So it's
yeah, dude, you know the songs. Yeah. You know,
oh,
the songs.
I listen to them all the time.
My kids, one of my kids is Swiftie. The other, he's like not a Swiftie. Okay. But,
there are arguments. Yeah.
I feel bad for Justin Fields. I do. I think part of it is him. Like, I don't know if he can ever be the guy. And I was on the bandwagon. I'm big enough to admit when maybe I'm wrong. And I think maybe I'm wrong. But I also think when it comes to, you know, draft picks and the context with which they enter the league, this is not a formula for success. He's obviously not being coached well enough to feel like he can be aggressive. His head's messed up, you can tell. And they're just not a good team. They remind me of a lot of teams I was on, you know, the Garrett Bowles type Rams teams, where you take the field every Sunday and you're just like, we're going to lose. How hard do we fight? That's the only question. And it's already gut check time. You know, I've been in buildings like that where if you've never been in an NFL building on a Monday that's playing the way the Bears have, there is no more stressful place in American sports. And I feel for those guys getting off that plane, having to go back into work. You got no D coordinator. Kansas City just hung 40 on you. The quarterback's probably not the guy. And I can remember arguing with Bears fans because I'm like, Justin's the guy. They know better. They've been going through this since, you know, post 85. They're like, we're holding on to that one. We don't want to trade for Chris Jones because we might need it. And I was like, you're crazy. You're not crazy. You're miserable, and you should be. And you're good at being miserable, and you see it coming a mile away. I totally feel for you. You guys don't get enough credit. Jets fans get a ton of credit for putting on a brave face. You guys hang in there in Chicago. It's rough.
Yeah, because he Justin Fields survived Bryce Young, but he ain't surviving Caleb Williams if that happens.
No. No, he's not. And he might not survive, period, with that. And I think for Justin, the real unfortunate thing is in a parallel universe, and of course, like, hey, I always say, hey, you know, it'd be cool to go. I could have got drafted two. We go 1-15, 2-14, all that stuff. If I'd have fell to, you know, 7, the Pats are there. You know, like, how does your career go? I don't know. And Justin Fields, I don't know if he got drafted somewhere else, like in Houston.
San Francisco. What if Kyle took him instead of Trey Lance? You know, I mean,
you'd probably be having a different conversation, but the reality of the NFL is like your legacy is based on what actually happens. And I feel bad for him.
Who's on your pod this week? What do you got for me, Chris?
We got Marty Smith. Marty Smith's coming on. We're going to talk about his new book coming out soon. So check that out. And then Friday, back with Sam for Steve.
By the way,
game day crew, basically.
Hey, look, and congrats on your new media company. You want to pound the table on that? What do you got here?
Well, it's called Yode House, but it's not, you know, I don't want to oversell it as a media company. It's okay. Like it's a small business.
Okay.
You know, and people love talking about small businesses.
We know all about it, Chris. That's what we're operating.
So we're going to have more pods. We've got, a pod with, I don't know if you remember David Vibora, Mr. Irrelevant is what they called him, but he's lived anything but an irrelevant life.
Right.
He's insane. He's been on these Survivor shows.
Oh, yeah.
On a raft in the Caribbean for 4 days, getting attacked by sharks. He climbed Kili with me. He just did the Leadville race out there where they go 100 miles in 24 hours. And he does an adaptive training center down in Dallas for wounded vets and that sort of thing. So that guy's going to be sitting down with a bunch of people who have, you know, challenges to overcome. We've got Fax and the King. We're just slowly is the key word, expanding.
Well, as you know, I'm always up for whatever you're up for, man. You're awesome. I just love Thanks, seeing brother. You. What's going on with you? It's the truth, and you know that. I'm not just saying that Thanks, publicly either. Good to see you, Chris Long. You the man.
Great Thanks to for see the time. You, Rich. Appreciate it.
Right back at you, Chris Long. Everybody, check out Greenlight with Chris Long podcast. His growing empire, right here on the Rich Eisen Show every single Monday. What did he say? The toughest place in American sports is what he said. A locker, a building on a Monday after your 844-204 Rich, number to dial, your phone calls, and overreaction Monday when we come back right here on this busy Monday edition of the Rich Eisen Show.
On October 5th, Loki is back in a brand new season.
Reunited.
That's right.
The countdown is on.
I've been waiting.
Don't miss the return of Marvel's most watched Disney Plus show.
Loki.
Loki. Loki.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
His time is running out.
You better run!
Marvel Studios' Loki Season 2. New episodes streaming October 5th, only on Disney Plus.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
My guest is Kim Zuckman. She is author of the book There's No Cream in Cream Soda. I don't think I've ever really known the story of why they're called hot dogs.
There are so many legends about the name of the hot dog. When the Germans immigrants came over and they brought all of their sausages, they also brought their dachshunds. It really is because they kind of look like dachshunds.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
Let's get to it with the Big Lebowski. How were you introduced to that film?
I ran into the Coen brothers a couple of years before that, I guess, at a party, and they said, we're writing something for you. I say, oh, great, because I was a big fan of Blood Simple and some of their earlier films.
Sure.
And then I got the script, and I said, what? This is not like anything I've done. Were you spying? Did you crash some of my high school parties? And where did this guy come from?
Was that character based on anybody that you know?
Yeah, it was based on a guy named Jeff Dowd. For them, they used him quite a bit. I met him. He came on the script. I didn't use him too much. I really referenced myself. And the script, you know.
When did you realize that this film would become, in many ways, you can't even call it a cult. It's a classic. It's just a flat-out classic now.
Yeah, yeah.
For the Big Lebowski.
I was surprised, because we had a great time making it, and we were all, laughing and, thinking, this was a fun movie. We didn't think it was going to be anything like it was today. Mm-hmm. But I was surprised when it first came out and did nothing. It was like, kind of a bomb. And then it played in Europe, and they got it. And then it splashed back over on our shores, and he grew to become
as one of our colleagues on this show has a friend who went to a Lebowski bar in Iceland.
Oh, yeah, We got these. We have Lebowski fests. I've been to one. I played with my band at a Lebowski fest. That was my Beatle moment, man. Can you imagine? The dude! Playing to a sea of dudes and bowling pins and moms. It's totally surreal. Oh, my God.
I love that, man. His appearance on our YouTube page, youtube.com/RichEisen Show. Back on our radio network with our Roku channel stream, all one big happy family. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. All rise. Terzo's on the phone, everyone. Terzo back here on the Rich Eisen Show in Iowa. What's going on, sir?
What's up, my dudes? Happy Monday. I survived a trip down to Nashville, and it seems like they can put a motor in just about anything down there except for the bus, the bussing with the boys.
Wow.
Very good one. I like it. I like it. What's on your mind?
Well, I gotta give a little air hug out to TJ, man. Sorry for your loss with Diggs, man. That's a tough one. I hate to see great players go down to injuries in practice, man. So I'm just giving you a little air hug, bud. You guys are still a great team. That Arizona team right now, like you guys said earlier, could very well be 3-0. The Dolphins, man, that team is scary.
They are. They are. But did you hear Chris Long say a team that can take care of them potentially is San Francisco? By the way, what a Super Bowl that would be. Mike McDaniel against San Francisco and all those players staying healthy, knock on wood, in Vegas. Yep. That would be Niners and Dolphins in Vegas would be pretty amazing.
I would have to go. Even if I couldn't get into the Super Bowl, I think I would just have to go just to hang out for that, because that would be so much fun, and the excitement around it would be intense. And I would have to think that would be a meeting of the minds, and to see the game plan that those two guys would put together against each other would be amazing.
Thanks for the call, Terzo. How much would it cost, do you think, to put the Rich Eisen Show logo on the sphere? Like if I approach with a mask so I can't be facially recognized.
For how long?
Because you know whose sphere that is.
Right.
For 3 seconds. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippis. Seven figures?
7 figures for three seconds.
For three Mississippis?
Yeah.
I wouldn't get a hometown discount because I'm from New York, home of Dolan.
What does that mean?
And what is three Mississippi?
I don't think Nolan likes you.
I don't know, but if I wear a mask and he doesn't know it's me.
But he can read, right?
That's true. I'm putting the logo. No, it's just the running man. No, I would forego my name.
Wow. Just the run. Okay.
How many times do I say that? Like never? But I want it to happen. I'm willing to make a deal.
You need like 10 seconds on that thing.
Super Bowl week, putting anything on that sphere would be
$1 billion.
Great, right?
Here's what we do Super Bowl week, Rich. We get a street team. We plaster Rich Eisen Show Running Man stickers all over the town.
I love it.
That's what we do.
Johnny in Redding, California, where I got my start in my career at KRCR-TV, Spirit of the North State. How are you, Johnny?
Hey, I'm doing doing fantastic, Rich. How are you?
Were you around Reading when I was doing the nightly sports with Mike Mangus on KRCR TV, ABC affiliate up there? Nope.
I don't think I was, but I definitely heard about you. I'm a huge fan of the show.
Thank you.
And I've been watching and listening to a few years for you guys.
Well, I have a very special place in my heart for Reading, California. What's on your mind, Johnny?
Well, we love you too, Rich.
Thanks, pal.
I'm a huge Chargers fan, and I've been getting Chargers for as long as I could remember.
Good verb.
But I have a great feeling about the offense. I've got a decent feeling about the defense. Is Brandon Staley, is it an overreaction to say he may or may not be in the hot seat?
Dude, man, there was a split moment where, again, if Brandon Staley, if we could have seen do you think he threw up in his mouth a little bit when he went for it on fourth down deep in his own end with a couple minutes to go and just like, all right, analytics says I pick up this 1 yard, game's over. I'm not going to punt it and make Kirk Cousins go the entire length of the field. And of course it didn't work out. And it looked like he was putting an 0-3 start right on the line. But and we were talking in the room, and thanks for the call, Johnny. Appreciate it. Keep stay safe out there if you're driving on I-5 up there in Reading. We were talking like, do you Lane Kiffin the guy if they lose that game? And I mean, if the Vikings had won that game, you're now 0-3.
Yes.
Is that fair to even say? Because they have
it's definitely unfair.
But of course it is unfair.
With the day that Herbert had a historic day yesterday.
How good. This is what we've been talking about.
Yesterday.
Every throw was shoved 20 yards down the field. Everything, including Keenan Allen. Like, that's the vertical game we're talking about for this guy.
40 of 47?
He
that is
unreal.
Ridiculous
he
for 400 yards.
Spectacular.
And Mike Williams goes down. News today that he tore his ACL.
Oh, no.
He's out for the year.
No.
Yeah. So,
awful.
Josh Palmer, Quentin Johnson.
I'm
season.
So sorry to hear that. And they did that without Eckler. This
right.
offense can be
yes.
really special.
Except for the dumb things that Staley does a couple of times a game.
Look, there was if you pick up 1 yard, it's over. 1 yard, it's over.
But you're at your own 25.
Oh, that's the rub.
What are we doing?
Oh, my God. That was wild.
Thank God Kirk does a couple dumb things a game, too.
And did you hear
give
Kirk,
it back to you.
Did you hear Kirk cut? Like they spent like a good 20 seconds trying to get the play in towards the end with the time ticking down. And then they wound up throwing an interception. And I guess Cousins couldn't hear inside,
yeah, too loud in the
you know,
stadium.
with the skull chanters,
jeez.
You know, and he couldn't get the play out right. And they lost their 0-3.
Oh.
Oh, my God. That was wild. What a finish. But the Chargers, that's what we're talking about with Justin Herbert.
Yeah, man.
Just vertical, just shoving it, just being aggressive. Second windows in the intermediate to deep ball. Like, what an old school AFC West type of a look. Just play a little defense. Let's get some of the Brandon Staley dice rolls not coming up craps. Maybe they wind up in Vegas and nobody's paying attention. They have the opportunity. I know what a tall order that is, but that guy, that kid, that's what you pay him.
Yeah.
$90 gajillion. He looked great. That was awesome.
You think Justin Jefferson would like to play?
Dude, I don't know. Let's just break it up. Send Justin Jefferson there.
And send Cousins to New York.
And he'll wear the old Jefferson goggles, right?
Let's go.
Back in the day. Yeah. And then send Kirk Cousins to New York.
This is a great idea.
It's a win for everybody, and Caleb Williams winds up in Minnesota. That's what we call a win-win-win.
It's a great idea.
Hey.
Well, Caleb Williams is going somewhere else. But.
Okay. Chicago?
Denver.
All right.
Shador could stay in Colorado, maybe.
We're kind of in that middle zone where I'm kind of figuring out what to do here, but then we could do an overreaction Monday when we come back.
That sounds good.
How does that sound?
I like it.
All right, so then let's take one more phone call here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I just put up a fun poll question, too.
Okay, very good. Wow, where am I going? There's so much to discuss right here. For the moment, you could stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and me all season long, including tonight in Cincinnati, for free. And get in the zone with AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help you find a fix for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. All right, now we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to reset. We've got Overreaction Monday and another phone call or two before we have Sean McVay in hour number three. We'll talk about college football from Dion and Ryan Day taking out all the Notre Dame ghosts. Hey, it's Rich Eisen. You want an exciting and fast-paced podcast based on one of the most popular segments in the history of the Rich Eisen Show? Well, you got it. Overreaction Monday, hosted by me, Rich Eisen, and my compadre, Chris Brockman. And every Monday, we're going to dive into the headlines from pro and college football and overreact. Are you ready, Chris Brockman? Yay or nay?
Yes, Rich. No holding back, buddy. I'm coming for you.
Absolutely what you need to hear. Overreaction Monday, every single Wait For It Monday, wherever you listen. I don't know if you guys know, but I'm all over the gossip sites, you know, because a little birdie told me during game day morning, yesterday morning, keep an eye out for Taylor Swift at Arrowhead Stadium. And I dropped that nugget on NFL game day morning, and then boom, went everywhere. What can I tell you? And then sure enough, who showed up next to Mama Kelsey but Taylor Swift herself? Let me tell you something. A lot of conversation going on in Kansas City about Travis Kelce's knee. That's a long time ago. Now we're talking about Travis Kelce, the superstar, dating the most famous woman on planet Earth. And I'll just say this. He once upon a time said, hey, I saw you perform in Arrowhead. How about you come to Arrowhead and watch me perform? And sure enough, it happened yesterday. Maybe the greatest speaking of something into existence in the history of speaking in existence. And the ultimate personification of you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Wayne Gretzky's never been more right.
I don't know that this. That saying applies to someone in Travis Kelce's position, though.
Dude. Do you know how many people have probably reached out to her and say, what do you think? Yeah. What do you think? My client is interested. I mean, this is the sort of thing that happens in the world. Come on now. Now, and I know there are some folks who are thinking, you know, maybe it's not.
On the up and up.
On the up and up or for real. But I don't know if Kelce would be spending this much time on this sort of stuff. He's got a playing season going on, don't you know? And I think she's kind of fine on the whole publicity front. I think she's got it.
If only someone predicted this on Friday.
That's what Chris Brockman's here for. We're all over this thing. Back here on our radio show, talking on our Roku feed. Now one big happy family talking about the new addition to the Kelce inner circle, Taylor Swift. My kids have never been more interested in Kansas City Chiefs football in their entire lives. They're locked in. And she's dropping F-bombs next to Mama Kelce when the Chiefs are scoring touchdowns. She did the full Brady. LFG from T. Swift.
She wins. Go ahead.
And again, you know, it's not like I've got my finger on the pulse of this thing. I haven't spoken to Kelce in a while. He's just, you know.
He's busy.
He's just talking in my Instagram feed at me. So, Travis, I say to you, I salute you, sir. According to E.T. Now.
E.T. Now.
He rented out a restaurant for a private party with him and his friends after the win last night. She said, according to this, the two were very affectionate with one another, but kept things fun and lighthearted. I know what that means. Let me just tell you something.
Which means someone's in the friend
Let
zone.
Let me tell you something. I just want to say this.
That's what that means.
Could you imagine? I couldn't imagine the pressure. The absolute pressure. Could you imagine, Mike, let's just say this again. You're the single man here. What if you had to give a comment on how a date went after every date that you have? Somebody's calling your representation. Let's say RES Consulting is your representation.
Yep.
Mike, how did things go in that bar, in that spot last night with this person you're making great. You're making cryptic Instagram comments about. How did things go? Was it fun? Was it lighthearted?
It was good.
Are you quietly hanging out? Are you loudly hanging out?
That's true.
I mean, my goodness.
I'm a quiet guy.
As if he doesn't have enough attention on him from NFL defenses.
Great questions.
But what do you think's going to happen?
I don't care. This is great.
Of course it's going to bring more attention.
The only group of people who are actually upset about this yesterday have to be those in the NFL front office who are in charge of making the announcement of who's performing at the Super Bowl halftime show. Because Usher was announced yesterday, and that wasn't even on anybody's radar screen about big-time musical performing acts and the NFL. It was all about what was going on in Arrowhead. This is just to show you just how completely burrowed into our national psyche and pop culture psyche this is. It's even filtered into Bill Belichick's world.
Right.
He commented about this on local radio in Boston on Monday.
Swiftie to Swiftie, Taylor Swift was in attendance to watch Travis Kelce's game with his mom in the box. Seems like they may be the new it couple. Where do you fall on that? Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, power couple in the NFL.
Well, I would say that Travis Kelce's had a lot of big catches in his career. This would be the biggest.
Nailed it. Oh, yep. Loving him was red.
There you go.
Bill knows.
And you may not know, but you know, I've got my finger on the pulse. According to gossip pages, I'm a source.
Source.
Oh, yeah. We're building empires here, Chris. I have been told they've actually been dubbed a couple with a nickname.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, boy.
They're known as Telsey. Taylor and Kelce. They're going to be shorthand referred to as Telsey. You know? In the same way there used to be Bennifer, right?
Bennifer, yeah.
Well, that sort of stuff. Yeah. I know they're married now. Bennifer forever.
I got a what's more likely already.
They're apparently known. They will be known shorthanded from now on as Telsey.
Oh, boy.
So get ready for it because hopefully, by the way, you see it, ready for it? Get ready for it because their next game is on NBC on Sunday Night Football. No question.
We need to talk about that.
No question. No, what? Did you flex out of that? There's no way they're flexing out of it now if she's going to be there. No way. That's how bad things were for the Bears yesterday.
She's not going to save a 40-point blowout.
Right? Fox had Mahomes and Kelce and Taylor Swift on their air and their A crew at the game, and they bagged out of it. That's how bad the Bears were yesterday.
Because no one's tuned in the game for half a second split on to see Taylor Swift in a box.
All right, it's Monday. Hey. Let's hit it. It's time for Overreaction Monday, the segment here on The Rich Eisen Show.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there, brother? What do you got?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Everybody good?
How are you?
TJ, I know you're not good. I'm sorry, brother.
I'm
doing great. You know who else is doing great? Miami Dolphins. After a 70-point onslaught, the Dolphins are the best team in the NFL.
Fact.
Yep.
Fact. I mean, you got the Niners and them. I don't know who I'm going to put number one in my power ranking. You can't say this is an overreaction. You cannot. You can make an argument to say another one is, but the Miami Dolphins have absolutely proven that you cannot scheme against them at present. Their speed is something you have to behold. How are you going to simulate their speed in practice? How are you going to do that?
It's not like a podcast. You can't just put it on 1.5 speed.
Right.
You know, put your players.
Correct. Like, you've got to give it up with what you're seeing. And you're going to have to hope Mother Nature will slow them down. Like, when it gets to be 30 degrees out, you're going to track meet then? I don't know. Which means the one seed is even that much more important. But for sure, this is not an overreaction, and it's an argument, but not an overreaction. What else you got over there,
76 Chris? And sunny in Buffalo this weekend. So
there you go. I can't wait for that game.
Could be awesome. Rich, let's talk about you for a second. Hey, Zach Wilson shouldn't start another game if the Jets want to keep their playoff hopes alive.
How is this an overreaction? It's not. It's just not reality. You're not going to take Tim Boyle and throw him out on Sunday Night Football in his first start for the Jets against the Chiefs. You're just not going to do that. You're going to hope that Zach Wilson can put together more than one drive where the light goes on. You're going to have to hope that the coordinator can figure out something. Every single time I watched yesterday, said Josh Dobbs finding a wide open receiver, or Kenny Pickett hitting somebody here, or, you know, CJ Stroud hitting somebody there in Jacksonville. I'm like, where is that for the Jets? Where's like the 10-yard easy gimme layup? Where are they? Why is everything like pulling teeth? But what are they going to do? Take Tim Boyle and throw him out on Sunday Night Football in his first start against the Chiefs? No chance. No chance. And if you do that, you might as well cut Zach Wilson, because now you're adding Tim Boyle to the people who you turn to because Zach's inoperable. Add him to Mike White, Joe Flacco, Chris Streveler. Not an overreaction, but not reality either. What else, Chris?
One of the surprising results yesterday was Cleveland 27, Tennessee 3. Did not expect that type of dominant performance from the Browns. And you know who else was great? Deshaun Watson played his best game yet with the Browns, and they're going to win the AFC North.
That's an overreaction. First of all, you know, I understand he played his best game yet with the Browns. You can say that based on the results and everything. But he also had one of those moments where he was being sacked and he flipped the ball 10 yards behind him.
Not sure what that was.
I don't know what that was. But he's definitely getting better.
27 of 33, 289 yards, and 123 passer rating.
Winning the North? I don't know. I don't know. And I know the Ravens looked the way they looked, but the Ravens are still a force to be reckoned with, I think. They're at Cleveland next week.
What's up with their offense?
We might be talking something completely different by this point next week. And don't forget, the Steelers are 2-1 visiting Houston next week. They might be 3-1, and they have a win against Cleveland in their back pocket already. I'll call this an overreaction for the moment, but they are looking good, and the kid Ford looks like he's the real thing. And how about this too? Great news that Nick Chubb didn't blow his entire knee out, and right, they expect him to be back and his career is on.
Yep.
What else, Chris?
That was great news. You know who balled out yesterday? The Red Rifle. The Panthers should start Andy Dalton next week, even if Bryce Young is healthy.
Nah, that's over. They got to take their lumps. They just got to, man. They
That's
got
a
to.
Wide open division.
I hear you. You traded
361 yards.
I get it. You traded all them picks for this kid. You got to take your lumps. You got to throw him out there. If he is ready, you have to play with him. And hopefully Andy Dalton gave him an opportunity to see this is how you can do it, kid. That's a guy named DJ Chark. That's a guy named Adam Thielen. You should definitely find him next week because he's taking on his old team, the Minnesota Vikings. That's the way. You say, Bryce, you got hurt. You had a nice perch to see how it is done. You got a chance to breathe and relax. Go out there, and we're going to live and die with your lumps. And how about, you know, the offensive line doesn't create all those pre-snap penalties that Frank Reich called pathetic. So I'll say that's an overreaction. What else, Chris?
Why wouldn't the Jets flip it two to Carolina for
Andy
Dalton?
Because Carolina's not willing to give him up. He's actually showing Bryce Young how to do it. That might be just even more important.
But if you sweeten the pot, they make him an offer they can't refuse.
There's nobody's backup quarterback is walking through that door right now.
Andy Dalton could win the playoff game for the Jets.
I'm not going to lie to you, but it's just I don't think that's reality.
All right, speaking of, the league needs to step in. Got to flex out of Chiefs Jets for Dolphins Bills. Do the right thing. Nobody wants to watch Chiefs Jets on Sunday night. What are we doing?
You are not overreacting. But I don't know. CBS might have protected this the minute Aaron Rodgers.
Well, they wouldn't have protected it because you can't flex until week 5.
Oh,
so
I got it.
The league needs to step in.
I see what
and
you're
say,
saying.
Look, this is for the betterment of every football fan out there. We don't want to watch 41-3 on Sunday night.
What if Taylor Swift agrees to play a song in the middle of it?
Halftime show.
Wait, is she going to play quarterback? Now that I'd be interested in.
No. We can't have it. She's a national treasure. We can't have her hurt. Stop it.
Dolphins, Bills, Sunday night. Do the right thing today.
Not an overreaction. I hear you.
Come on, Roger. I know you're watching.
By the way, that's not an overreaction either. He is definitely watching.
All right, last one. Now look.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to say I predicted this, but I did predict it on the Overreaction Monday preview podcast.
Okay.
And he's doing the pew, 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 pew. But there's a way to Jonathan Gannon's weirdness. and it's working.
Yeah.
For Arizona.
There's a way.
They could win some games.
Dude, they just did.
They could be 3-0.
Dude, we all thought like he's out to lunch. They're looking at him like,
who's 2.0?
Who is this weirdo that we're now being coached by?
The bus and the car, did you drive yourself, the fire, I don't know.
As I said, Nick Sirianni's first press conference in Philadelphia, we're like, this town's going to eat him for lunch, and now he is the walking id version of the city, MFing everybody. And pew pew himself actually did go, you know, fireworks, all that stuff. Rondell Moore did it. They beat the Cowboys, and that's going to go a long way, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Take the bus or the driving yourself, and we're all sitting here going, this guy's going to be a dumpster fire, and Kyler Murray's... Now we got to start talking about, when can he come back? Josh Dobbs has proven himself to be terrific. Maybe the Jets can grab him if Kyler Murray comes back. I'm desperate. I don't know what I'm saying now.
I mean, anything's... with all due respect to Zach, anything's better than that.
Oh, good Lord.
Sorry, bud.
But you're not wrong. You haven't overreacted to too much today, Chris.
Really? I thought I was being spicy.
Look at you.
All right.
And by the way, as soon as we are done today, Chris Brockman and I are staying after class to put together the Overreaction Monday podcast version, where you can get all your podcasts every single week, every single Monday. We come your way with 10 new topics. Lots of fun right there. And then What the Football coming up on Tuesday. Susie Schuster and Amy Trask will recount tonight's Monday Night Football double dip. Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. I do believe they have free ice cream for those who are in studio, not listening. Oh. So.
They do, Rich. Can confirm.
They do. They confirmed it with you?
Can confirm.
Okay,
I do it. I'm here.
Okay, very good.
Honestly, just flex out of it. Just do it.
You can't do it.
You can't do it.
You can't do it. Good God. That was some really wild, bad football between the Bears and the Broncos.
And now they're playing each other.
They're playing each other.
Honestly, I'm more interested in that game than Chiefs Jets.
I don't know. What if the Jets? What if they put together something? They're not gonna. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
You know, my brother's texting me desperate things.
What is your Jets like group chat like?
It's a morgue. It's just like a can you believe this has happened? We're sort of banding together after a shocking death of a season that happened, you know, within 4 snaps in 75 seconds. We were supposed to never see this again. It was supposed to be Rodgers doing it for a year or two, giving the Jets real type of action at the quarterback position in the leadership spot for all the young kids ready to win. This is supposed to happen for this year and next, and maybe if Zach's ready by the time he's 25, 26, he hands it off and we see what happens. And instead, it's just a repeat of 2022, and it's just as bad. It seems just as and yesterday was the nightmare again. But at least they scored more than 3 points. Now we're hanging our hat on one drive going into Kansas City against Mahomes and Kelce. See, I just used it.
Hey guys, it's Susie Schuster, and I am so excited for my new podcast coming out this fall. It is called What the Football with Susie Schuster and the Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to about jargon, heavy-legged waistbenders, this is not for you. We're going to have big girl conversations, and we are going super deep to bring you weekly guests that you won't find anywhere else. It is What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, wherever you listen.